Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. My name is Father Cedric Pazegna. I'm a passionist priest. That means that we have a dedication to the cross of Jesus, to His passion. I have discovered that there's healing power in the passion of Jesus. And on Good Friday, we read a reading that's read all across the world that proclaims the healing power of the cross. Let me share it with you. It comes from chapter 53 of Isaiah, and it says that surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed Him smitten and stricken and afflicted, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And upon Him was the chastisement that makes us whole, and by His stripes we are healed. We have all gone astray, and everyone has turned to his own way, but the Lord laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. I want to talk about the healing power of the cross. Stay tuned, and may this preaching inspire you. When I was a deacon and a seminarian and a young priest, I used to travel with another missionary. His name was Father Blaise Chaya. He kind of broke me in on the road, taught me the ropes. And we used to travel together in this little pickup truck and drive from town to town preaching the gospel. I'm a type A personality. I like to know what's going on, where we're going, and things that are precise. He's a type B. He's laid back, non-controlling. We were good together that way. But the problem was, whenever we would travel in terms of directions, I wanted to know exactly where we were going, and he was a little more laid back, let's say. For example, one time we were coming into town and we're driving toward the church, and I said, "So what street is the church on?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "What do you mean you don't know? What's the address?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "How are we going to find the church?" He said, "Just look up at the steeple. Look for the cross. It'll point the way." And it's so true. We would drive into the town, we'd see this cross way up on a steeple, and the cross pointed the way to the church. And this morning, I want to tell you that the cross points the way. When I talk about the cross, of course, we're talking about Jesus' suffering portrayed in the crucifix or in the cross that are up on steeples. Many people wear the cross around their necks. We make the Stations of the Cross during Lent. And then, of course, during Ash Wednesday, we were signed with the sign of the cross. The cross is lifted up high for all to see. I remember when I was a seminarian, I had the privilege of studying over in Israel. And I spent 3 months over there. I lived over there and spent a lot of time living right outside Jerusalem. And one of the churches that I loved to go to was the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. If you know anything about it, in Jerusalem, that's the traditional place. And the church was built about the year 325 or so. It's one of the oldest churches in the Holy Land. And that church was built right over the place that we believe where Jesus was crucified. It's called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Well, I knew some of the Franciscans there that have custody of that church. And every one of the days, I think it was a Friday, they actually locked the church for about 6 hours. They don't let anybody in. And since I knew one of the Franciscans, I was able to get locked inside the church. Now, I wasn't going to be able to leave for 6 hours, but finally I had the place to myself. And so I remember I was locked in there. There was nobody there. And I went, if you know anything about it, it was built over where this limestone quarry used to be at the time of Jesus. And it was called the Mount of Calvary. And the church itself has some steps inside it, and you go up on it, and it's limestone underneath, this limestone quarry. And I went up those steps, about 15 or so, and I got up to, right now I'm on the Mount of Calvary. And I'm all by myself, and there's a place there where you can actually bend down and stick your hand through a hole and touch the limestone quarry, right at the place where we believe that Jesus was crucified. And I touched it, and I sat down there, and I prayed. I had my Bible with me, and I had some good books to meditate upon the passion of Jesus. And I remember as I was sitting there, it was like vibrations through my soul. I could feel the pain. I could feel the suffering, the anguish that happened right on that very spot some 2,000 years before. And I was a seminarian at the time, you know, and a passionist already. I had already professed my vows. And I remember praying to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I believe that you've called me to become a priest. I don't know if I ever really will be one, but if I am, and if I'm ever ordained, I promise I will proclaim throughout the world the best I can what happened on this spot. Your sufferings and your anguish and the torment that you went through for me and for the world." Well, lo and behold, some 5 years later, I was ordained a priest, and my first vow is to meditate upon the Passion of Christ and proclaim him to the world, proclaim the meaning of the Passion to all the people, now through TV, through writing, through preaching, and it's my joy to do so. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson. It came out years ago, and many of you did see it. I saw it, and it portrayed the Passion. The whole movie, really 2 hours, was just focusing on the Passion of Jesus. The word Passion, of course, means suffering, the suffering of Jesus. And if you remember that movie, there was a lot of violence, and a lot of people had trouble. Some of the critics had trouble with that movie because of the violence, because it showed the Passion in such a bloody way. And there was a lot of suffering and endurance, and you could see Jesus when he was scourged. And you could have done that in 5 minutes, but they showed the scourging for about 15 minutes, and it was so horrible. And then the crucifixion was brutal and violent and bloody. And many people thought, why did they have to show that? Well, if you've ever watched that movie, and I have the book from the movie, and oftentimes to meditate upon the Passion, I just go through the book and I look at those scenes, the depictions of the Passion, and it helps me to remember the great love that God has for me personally. Many people, when they see a crucifix or the brutal depiction of the Passion in that movie, they think to themselves, you know, how unworthy they are, and that because of that Passion, they feel even more guilty. Well, I want to try to let you in on something. Isaiah 53 says that he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was scourged for our iniquities. And it says that the Lord laid the guilt of us all upon him. So in other words, when you look at the Passion, you shouldn't be saying, well, I did that to Jesus, and woe is me, and then feeling even more guilty and condemned. Rather, you ought to be giving your guilt to Jesus and your condemnation to Jesus. See, when I see the great sufferings, and when I see how deep he suffered in the violence and the brutality, it frees me even more from the guilt and the shame and the condemnation. And I love what it says in the Bible. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Now, therefore, it says, there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. You see, the same devil who tempts you into sin, that same devil tries to heap you with guilt and condemnation. And it's by the blood of the Passion, it's by the crucifixion of Jesus, that we can give him our guilt, in our condemnation, in our shame, and we can lay our burdens down. So when you meditate upon the violence, when you meditate upon the brutality of the cross, realize that Jesus went through that to free you, not to heap more guilt on you, not to make you feel sorry for yourself because you've sinned, but rather to take our sins and to take the guilt, to take the shame, and to take the condemnation. And then last night, if you were here, I talked about how people say, well, Father, you know, I know that God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. Well, my advice to people whenever they tell me that is, you can't forgive yourself, then meditate on the Passion. Meditate on the brutality. Meditate on the scourging. Spend some time thinking about what Jesus went through, and then, trust me, you can take that self-condemnation and the self-guilt, and you can give it to God. And I really believe that people that haven't been able to forgive themselves haven't truly meditated on the depth of what that Passion is. Because Jesus came for you, and he came for me to free us so that we could be liberated from the guilt and the shame and the sin and the condemnation. That's something you must realize. So the first part of the meaning of the Passion is healing, inner healing for the guilt and the shame, so that you don't have to beat yourself up all the time, that you'll realize that he came for you. As we know from John 3:16, God so loved us He so loved you and I that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, maybe you're just flipping into this program right now, you're a whosoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. So let's talk a little bit about that eternal life. First of all, as I said, the passion has to do with healing. You meditate upon the brutality. You meditate upon the violence, and you realize that, you know what, I don't need to bear this guilt anymore. Yes, I've sinned. I've done wrong. I have betrayed God. I've betrayed myself. But thank you, God, that you sent your Son to die for us. There's a professor of philosophy at Boston College. His name is Dr. Peter Kreeft, and he teaches philosophy there to freshman Catholic college students. And he starts his class in a very unique way. He starts his class when they all gather for the first time. Maybe there's 30, 40 philosophy students there set before him. Now, this is Boston College. It's a Jesuit school. It's a Catholic college. And these young students ought to have advanced a little bit in their knowledge of Catholicism and Christianity. And he begins his class by saying this. He says, if you were to die tonight, and you were to go face to face with God, and you were to stand before the pearly gates, why should God let you into heaven? And he gets some very interesting responses. The young students will raise their hand and say, well, I believe that God will let me into heaven because I'm a nice person. That's the number one response, nice person. Or I believe that God will let me into heaven because I've been good. Or I believe that God will let me into heaven because I never hurt anybody. And you know what they're giving is the secularized response to the gospel. This is what the secular society tells us what the gospel is, that if you're good enough, if you're nice, if you don't hurt anybody, if you do some good works, then you're going to be worthy of heaven. That's what the society tells us. But that's not what the church has ever taught, and that's certainly not what the gospel teaches. The gospel teaches something very different. The gospel says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So in other words, you can't earn it, you don't deserve it, not by being nice enough, it's a free gift. And this comes right from the scriptures and in the teachings of the church. And Dr. Peter Kreeft says that, he says he's mesmerized by the responses, and where do these children learn this? He says he can't believe that they can get to that level of Catholic Christian education and not know the answer to the most important question given to us, how do you get to heaven? And he says none of them, or very few of them, ever say something about Jesus, or the Mass, or the cross. But yet, every time we come to Mass, you know, we pray in the sign of the cross. We pray the Eucharist. We receive communion. We talk about Jesus. The gospel is always telling us about how God loves us and forgives us in his Son. But yet somehow they've gotten this idea that if you're good enough, nice enough, if you don't hurt anybody, then you're going to go to heaven. Well, that is not the gospel at all. As I said, it's a secularized version of the gospel, and it's deceit. The true gospel has to do with Jesus, and it has to do with what happens at Mass, coming into communion with him, receiving his forgiveness at the cross. Last night, so many of you came to confession, and it's not the priest who forgives you. We mediate that forgiveness through a sacrament by absolving you through the blood of the cross. When you come to communion, you're receiving Jesus. We celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Every sacrament is really a sacrament of the cross and his death for us and his resurrection for us. I wanted to tell you that one time I led a pilgrimage to the shrines of Italy. And I went to many places like Assisi, and I went to Monte Cassino, where St. Benedict lived, St. Scholastica, Rome, of course. But one of the places, I think it was perhaps the most surprising place, and I had no idea it was going to be this reverent and this holy and this beautiful. The place that I went was a place called Lanciano. Lanciano, it was where a Eucharistic miracle occurred. I had heard about it, but I didn't really know it in detail, but I learned about it when I went there. And of all the places that we went to, I think the most prayerful place for my people, I was leading about 30 people in tow, the most prayerful place was this Lanciano. You could have heard a pin drop there. And the story is this. In the year 800, there was a bazilian priest. A bazilian is a religious priest. He was presiding at Mass, and he had doubts. He had doubts about the body and blood of Jesus. And God did a miracle right before his eyes. Literally, we realize that, of course, the bread and the wine are transubstantiated right into the body and blood of Jesus. It's a miracle at every Mass. We know that. But right before his eyes, the host turned into literal flesh. Right before his eyes, the wine was changed into literal blood. And he became a believer because he saw. What's interesting, the elements are still present today. There's the globules of blood in the chalice, and there's the host there that they still have in Lanciano. We saw it there. And scientists from the University of Siena have actually done tests on these elements to see what they actually are. And here's what they came up with. First of all, the chalice. They found out that the globules in there are actual blood, and it's interesting what type blood it is. And this is 1,200 years later. And the blood is type AB blood, which I understand is the rarest or the most precious type of blood available. And strangely enough, it's the same blood type that's on the Shroud of Turin. I find that interesting. Well, in addition, besides being type AB and the rarest and on the Shroud of Turin, type AB blood, get this, I would have thought that it would have been Jesus is always giving to people, so I would have thought that it would have been the universal donor. But it's not. Type AB blood is the universal, get this, the universal receiver. And that makes perfect sense to me, because when you think about it, Jesus was always receiving people. Tax collectors, sinners, women, the lowly, the broken, the poor. See, he receives us just the way we are. You know what he taught? He said, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. He said, I haven't come to call righteous, I've come to call sinners to repentance. And maybe you've just tuned into this program and you hear me talking about Jesus and the power of his blood and the power of the passion. What I want to say to you is that no matter what you've done in your life, he receives you just as he received people in his day. You just simply come to him just as you are. He has forgiveness for you. He has mercy for you. He has salvation for you. You can't earn heaven. You don't deserve it. Nobody can merit it. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So you believe. You believe that he came for you, that he died for you, and you receive his love. It's interesting what the host was. The host was real flesh. It was real human flesh. They did the scientists did this study on it, and they found out that not only was it flesh, get this, it was heart tissue. You know what that tells me? That in the Eucharist, God gives us not only his very Son, he gives us his heart, the depths of who he is, his emotions, the center of his being. In other words, in the Eucharist, what is God saying? He's saying, I love you so much, I give you my heart. And so every time we celebrate Eucharist, of course, it's a celebration of the cross. I remember one time years ago, there was a fire in Yellowstone National Park. Thousands of acres were scorched. The fire burnt all these acres. And after the fire, the park rangers were going through the park and they were assessing the damage. And they looked and they saw this grotesque figure. As they came upon it, it was a bird, a mother bird apparently, with its wings spread out, and it was all charcoaled, and it was all burnt to a crisp. So one of the rangers went over to it, took a stick, and he kind of knocked it over. It was very grotesque. And when he knocked it over, there was five little chicks underneath. And what had happened is, when the fire, and they were alive, and they kind of ran away. And what happened was, when the fire came, the mother bird spread her wings over the chicks to protect them and to save them. And Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must I be lifted up on the cross, that whosoever believes will have eternal life. And so what is he doing on the cross? He's spreading his wings. He's spreading his arms over us to save us and to protect us from evil and from death. So I want you to understand that Mass, coming to Jesus, it's a celebration of the cross. And it's at the cross that we receive We believe, we trust in, first of all, healing. Healing for the guilt and the shame and the condemnation. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:1. And then, of course, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Not by being nice or good enough or earning it or meriting it. No, our church has always proclaimed that it's the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ that saves us. That's why we put the church on the steeple. That's why the cross on the steeple. That's why it shows us the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Story that I love to tell, and as I come to a conclusion now, I hope you'll understand this and grab a hold and meditate on the passion. You know, I'm a passionist priest, and when we were consecrated as a community back in the 1700s, this is what the Pope said. He said to St. Paul of the Cross, he said, your community is the last community. It was the last religious community at that time. He said it should have been the first community because the passion is so important. And we passionists proclaim the meaning of the cross throughout the world. Well, the story I wanted to tell you is about this man. He was 76 years old and he died and he had a heart attack and died and went up to the pearly gates of heaven, and he was met by St. Peter. And St. Peter says, you want to get into heaven, don't you? And the man looked into heaven, and it was beautiful and awesome and opulent. Everything you could ever imagine was in there. And he said, yeah, I want to get into heaven. How do I do it? St. Peter said, you got to demonstrate to me that you have 1,000 points. Because 1,000 points, how do I do that? St. Peter said, just tell me about your life. So he said, well, St. Peter, he said, I was baptized as a Catholic and confirmed when I was in the 9th grade and went to church just most of the time. I tithed my income, raised 3 children in the church, stayed married for 50 years. How many points is that? St. Peter says, 2. He goes, 2? He says, I was the Knight of Columbus. He said, I taught people. I taught CCD. I worked at a soup kitchen. I always helped people whenever I could. And get this, St. Peter, our mother-in-law lived with us for the last 20 years of her life. How many more points is that? St. Peter said, 2 more. 2 more? He said, that's all I've ever done. I can't do it. I need 1,000 points. I've got 4. I'm going to have to throw myself on the mercy of God. St. Peter smiled and said, come on in, that's worth 996 points. Yes, good works mean something. It's a part of our faith. But being nice isn't going to save you. What saves us is the blood of the cross. I hope you enjoyed the preaching, and just wanted to show you that I used to be a carpenter. I worked with my dad as a carpenter, and of course, so did Jesus. Can you imagine the irony of Jesus working with these tools, knowing that one day this was going to be used against him? Well, I remember one time I was up on Calvary, that was in Jerusalem, and I was praying, and I could feel the vibrations. I was in that church. I could feel what happened to Jesus, and it doesn't take much imagination to know the just hearing that noise. I felt the pain that he went through when that went through him, how hard that was for him. What I want you to do is just for a moment, meditate. Meditate on the pain that Jesus went through and the suffering and the hurt and the trials and the crucifixion. And I have found that there is healing in the cross. And so what I'm saying is that when you look to Jesus, you can find healing. You see, Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, and anybody that just looked at it was healed. Well, here's what I found in my life. Because of the pains that Jesus went through and that horrible crucifixion, that I can lay down the guilt and the shame. I read to you Isaiah 53. It was our suffering that he bore, our iniquities, our chastisements he bore. So what I'm saying is, many people say, well, I know I'm forgiven, but I haven't been able to forgive myself. Well, I've been able to experience healing at the cross because I've meditated on his sufferings. And I know that I am forgiven for my past and the shame and the guilt, and I'm saved by the blood of the cross. And I love what Paul says in Galatians. He said that if justification, if being put right with God, comes through the law, then Jesus died for nothing. And what I'm saying is, justification doesn't come through the law. Being put right with God doesn't come through the law, and it doesn't come through beating yourself up and feeling guilt and feeling that you're no good either. Justification, being right with God, comes through the passion, comes through the cross. Jesus died for a purpose, to save you and to save me. And I pray that you will receive healing at the passion, salvation through the cross of Jesus. And I pray that you will come to know him as your Lord. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
If we share fully in the suffering of Christ.
The main purpose of the program Live with Passion is to reach out around the country and the world with this message of the cross. The message of the cross is absurdity to those who are going to ruin, but to we who are being saved, it's the power and the wisdom of God. And I've been touched by the cross, healed by the cross. Help me to proclaim the good news all around the nation. You know, I get these letters from different people and emails, and one was kind of funny. It says that, Father, you're giving the Catholic Church a facelift. I thought that was, and she said, keep up the passion for Jesus. And this one person said, wow, the impact of your ministry is life-changing. I'm now reading book number 10 of yours, watch your TV program weekly. I listen to your CDs while cooking, watch your DVDs while waiting for my husband to get home from work, and we discuss your program. So, I mean, hook, line, and sinker. And it's not about me, it's about the message of salvation that I'm proclaiming, healing, new life, transformation. This book, Live Passionately, will change your life. I talk about the cross and the power of the cross. This book will give you hope. And then a book called He Touched Me. And in this book, He Touched Me, I talk about the cross and how God will touch you through the power of the cross. I want you to be saved. I want you to know eternal life. Go to my website. You can watch a program about eternal life. You can get my booklet about experiencing rebirth. It's FatherCedric.org. Anytime you buy my resources, you're supporting me and proclaiming the cross all around this nation. Thank you so much for buying my resources, for supporting my ministry. I really, really, really appreciate it, and I love hearing from you. Send me an email. I'd like to hear what's going on in your life. Remember now, don't just live. Live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.